And now we are online with Philadelphia Tabernacle. Come on, let's put our hands together and greet our sister church in Philly. Good morning, Philadelphia Tabernacle. We love you guys. We trust you've had a powerful worship service. It's been a wonderful start here in Chicago, and I want to welcome any of our online family. Man, what a blessing it is to be able to set aside this day, as we've been talking about, to focus on Jesus, to love him, worship him, to honor him, and also to be fed and built up by his word, which we're going to be doing right now. We're going to be looking to the word of God. And this is our last week in our series on rest. Everybody say rest. What a beautiful word. What a good word is rest. And I want you to know that this week there's a unique twist on this whole issue of rest. Because we started the series with Jesus declaring that rest is a gift from God to man. And it is God's will that you would receive the gift of rest. Last week, we talked about that rest is a promise. When God created the world, in 7 days, he stopped, and then in 6 days, and then he stopped, and he rested on the seventh day. And then he gave us the commandment, work hard for 6 days, treat time as sacred for 6 days. Whatever you do, whatever your hands find to do, do it all for the glory of God. And then take 1 day and make that time sacred by resting and resting in the Lord. How many would say amen? Rest is a promise from God. And here's what he said. He said, if you will treat time as sacred, if you'll treat the 6 days as sacred, and even the seventh day as sacred, I will bless you and take care of you. And even when you're resting, I will be working to release my blessing over your life. How many know little is much when God is in it? Hallelujah. And so you could be doing less, and yet God could be doing more when you choose to rest in him and trust him and believe him. But today, there's a twist. You ready? You ready for the twist? The title of today's message is Rest is a Fight. Rest is a Fight. And we're going to be looking today at the book of Hebrews, because at the same time, while the Bible says that rest is a gift and rest is a promise, today I'm here to bring a word from a book that is a pretty sober book. The book of Hebrews is a sober book, and it has a number of significant warnings to us. And this book is talking about the fact that if you want to experience the gift of rest, if you want to take hold of the promised rest, well, guess what? You have to fight for rest. Rest is a fight. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 3, rest is mentioned 2 times. In chapter 4, which I'll be reading from in a moment, it's mentioned 11 times, okay? 11 times. And here's what it's speaking about. And I want to say this, that the book of Hebrews is not an easy book. And I'm going to read you a passage of scripture that's not necessarily easy to understand, but I want to break it down as best as I can. If you've not heard the other two messages, please go back and listen. Please take advantage of our app. We have such a great app. The slides are there. You can put notes in it. And we give you enough information for you to go home and digest truth well so that you could become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Digest the word of God well, my brothers and sisters. We're doing all of these things so that you can get strong in God. So listen, the word rest in the book of Hebrews speaks about your now rest, and it takes us into your eternal rest. So there's a now rest, there's an eternal rest, but it takes the fight, the spiritual fight, so that we can come into God's promised rest. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. It says, now God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest he spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. So remember, this is a very sober book. You got to take this seriously. You know, I'm going to read it off of here. For we have heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe then do receive that rest which God promised. Rest is a promise. So this passage kind of takes the last 2 weeks and wraps them together. We've been pushing back and looking back into the Old Testament to understand even the purpose of all of the Old Testament stories. They were for us for the here and now. Okay, so it says, we who believe then do receive that rest which God promised. It is just as he said, I was angry and made a solemn promise. They will never enter the land where I would have given them everyone rest. He said this even though his work had been finished from the time he created the world. For somewhere in the scripture, this is said about the seventh day. This is what we've been talking about. God rested on the seventh day from all his work. Are you listening in Philadelphia? This is very, very important. This same matter is spoken of again. They will never enter that land where I would have given them rest. I'm gonna pause right here. Rest is a gift, rest is a promise, but you have to fight for that rest. You have to fight for that rest. That's what this is talking about. Watch. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, he spoke of it through David in the scriptures, through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. Do not be stubborn. This is the word of God. Say, preach it, Pastor. Yes, I will. Okay? This is sober truth, very, very important truth. It's wonderful. It's laced with the love of God and the promises of God. A good parent tells his children the truth, or her children the truth. And so these are the words of God because they are true. We have a promised rest from God. What we have to fight for, I'm going to show you in a moment. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later about another day, a little bit more. As it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest like God's resting on the seventh day. For those who receive that rest which God promised will rest from their own work, just as God rested from his. Let's read this together. Ready? Let us then do our best to receive that rest so that no one of us will fail as they did because of their lack of faith. Wow. What is this talking about? Go home and read that a few times. But I'm going to show you what it's talking about. So in the Old Testament, I want to put up a slide for you here, picture for you here. In the Old Testament, here's why were those stories in the Bible? Those stories were to really highlight the Christian life. Remember, all of the Old Testament was an arrow pointing towards Jesus. A lot of times people criticize God in light of the Old Testament, but whenever people do, well, this happened in the Old Testament, that happened, say, stop, go to Jesus. Because it all culminates in Christ. And then you see the beauty, the mercy, the power of the love of God. And in the Old Testament, you see what happens when people don't put their faith in God. And you see what happens when you try to live life without the grace of God. So watch this. So they were in Egypt. They were slaves for 400 years. But then, as we've mentioned in previous messages, God sent Moses, let my people go. 10 plagues hit Egypt, the greatest military power in the world at that time, very sophisticated civilization in its own way. They were sophisticated in architecture and mathematics and all of these things. And then these simple people without weapons, without military, without leadership, one man raised up by God walks in, and then heaven opens and moves in power and breaks the back of Pharaoh. Anybody happy that God can deliver in all times, at all ages? God is more than able. Hallelujah. So they get delivered from Egypt, and then they go into the wilderness, and it becomes a season of wandering. So why was it a season of wandering? And this is what God is referring to, is because when they got to the Jordan River, Moses sent some men to spy out the promised land. The men went, the land was flowing with milk and honey. They brought the honey. They brought the report back. The fruit were gigantic. The avocados were like bowling balls. They were like, this is the land that we want. But guess what they said? They said, there's giants in the land and we can't fight them. Okay? They're too big to fight. So after God did all of that deliverance in Egypt and they had no weapons, no anything, nothing. After God did all of that, guess what they said? The God who delivered us from Egypt can't deliver us when we are in the promised land. You see, they didn't take the time, as we talked about last week, to reflect and remember. And so here's what happens. They wept as if God was not faithful. They became weak and they said, we don't want to cross the Jordan and fight in the promised land. Okay? Now, what was this? Hebrews is telling us this is a picture of the Christian life. You see, in the Christian life, a lot of people give their life to God, right? But after they give their life to Christ, they stay in wandering. You see, you know why they stay in wandering? Because when it comes to the promised land, they don't want to fight. A lot of Christians don't want to fight. A lot of Christians are weak in the Lord instead of being strong in the Lord. Can I say that? Can I tell you something? There are people that are missing out on the inheritance and on the blessings of God because they don't want to fight spiritually. Brothers and sisters, God is on the move and we need to fight the good fight. Somebody say amen. So I wanna read something to you, and then I wanna pray to finish out this explanation. One of my favorite authors, Andrew Murray, look at what he says. It says, we have seen that with Israel, this is from a commentary right from the book of Hebrews 4. We have seen that with Israel, after its deliverance from Egypt, there were two stages. Everybody say two stages. The one, the life in the wilderness with its wanderings and its wants, its unbelief and its murmurings, its provocation of God, and its exclusion from the promised rest. For 40 years, that whole generation never entered into the promised land. When he said they will never enter my rest, it's because there was a generation of people that didn't want to fight spiritually. They didn't want to fight physically. Now it's spiritual, but they didn't want to fight because they didn't believe that the God who broke the back of Pharaoh couldn't defeat the enemies in the promised land. And so they never entered into the rest and blessing of God, right? So watch this. It's provocation of God. It's exclusion from the promised rest. The other, the land of promise, with rest instead of desert wanderings, with abundance instead of want, and the victory over every enemy instead of defeat. Symbols of the two stages in the Christian life. The one in which we only know the Lord as Savior from Egypt, in his work on the cross for atonement and pardon. The other, where he is known and welcomed as the glorified priest-king in heaven, who, in the power of the endless life, sanctifies and saves completely, writes God's laws in the heart, and leads us to find our home in the holiest of God's presence. You and I can, we have a home in the presence of God. The presence of God wants to be there when you wake up in the morning, when you open your Bible, when you're going to sleep and you lift your hands and say, thank you for your faithfulness. The presence of God is right there in your house, in your car, at the office, at the cubicle. Could somebody say amen? Our God is with us. Hallelujah. Our God is not afar. That's for the other gods. That's for the other philosophies. Our God is with us all day long. Somebody say amen. It says the aim of the writer in this whole section is to warn us not to rest content with the former, the preparatory stage, but to show all diligence to reach the second and enter the promised rest of complete deliverance. Somebody say complete deliverance. God wants to give you and I great victory. So I want to pray right now. And Lord, come on, lift your hands. Lord, we receive your word. And Father, in Philadelphia, in Chicago, all of our online family, may our faith rise to your expectations. God, help us open our eyes today. Lord, if you have to convict us, if you have to do surgery today. Break chains. Break selfishness. Break fear. You are more than able. We sang it because it's true. God, we want the gift of rest. We want the promise of rest. God, help us to fight the good fight of rest. So bless your word, bless ears to hear, bless my lips to communicate your will, your heart, and your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a fight that needs to be fought in order to secure rest. And you and I need to know that in the New Testament, even though Jesus did everything, there is the fight of faith. Two quick verses. Look at what John, this is the reality. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it, everyone, abundantly. The abundant life, knowing the word, having the joy of the Lord in the word, praising God, serving God, serving in the kingdom, honoring God, not having to take the cheap things that this world offers to feel satisfied. We can be satisfied in Jesus. We can be satisfied by the blessing of the Lord, which is good. Not living like this world lives. It's all empty. It's an air sandwich, right? So it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, but you have to fight. There's a spiritual fight. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. If you want rest, you have to fight the good fight. If you want rest, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said that it would be a walk in the park. Any theology that tells you that that life on the earth is like a walk in the park, and just name it and claim it or whatever, that's baloney. Okay? If the devil is not attacking you, you probably are not doing much. Amen. So I love this quote. When we are tired, we are attacked by ideas we conquered long ago. So here's what happens. People get the victory and they start walking with God and they're fighting the good fight of faith. And then they start to give up. I'm going to talk about this in a moment. And when they give up, the Hebrews were being tempted to give up. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to someone online today. In the name of Jesus, I'm speaking to someone in Philadelphia and right here. Do not give up. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We got to fight the good fight of faith. If you want to stay in faith, you have to fight. Everybody say fight. But it's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual fight. And it's a fight that is worth it. So there are two facets to fighting. So imagine all they had to do is to go into the promised land and get to the battle knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. Knowing that even though they can't knock down the walls of Jericho, you got a wall of Jericho in your life, guess what? March around it. Show up. Raise your voice. And watch the power of God break those walls down. How many know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Deliverance is possible. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't take bondage sitting down. Fight for freedom and blessing and joy. Now, there's two facets to this fight. Facet number one is you have to fight to rest in your days. Okay? You have to fight to rest in your days. There's a fight to stay in faith, which is the kind of fight where you say, I won't be discouraged and I won't be distracted. So you wake up in the morning and you're trying to serve God. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to notice this. As soon as you turn to really get serious about God, the devil starts attacking. He used to leave you alone before, but as soon as you start getting serious about God, things get crazy. Right? And guess what you're supposed to do? You're going to say, devil, I'm not going to let you intimidate me. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Things are hard, but I won't be discouraged. I'm going to trust God because he's more than able. Devil, I will not be distracted. When you get that old phone call or that old text message, you're like, I blocked that person. I don't belong to that world anymore. I am going to fight the good fight. I reject that in the name of Jesus. Some people got to fight. You got to fight to resist the enemy Not say I'm weak, you're not weak. You're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might if you're willing to fight. But you don't understand. God understands. God is with you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in your world. You got to fight the good fight. Listen to this. Okay, so in this passage, there are two words for rest in the original language. The first one, when it talks about the Sabbath rest, it's kata something. Pauses, I don't know how to say it. Listen to this. It says, a putting to rest, a calming of the winds. It's used 8 times. Okay? So in like 11 verses, 8 times, it says, look, fight the good fight of faith and calm the winds. Fight the good fight of faith and deal with the storms. Don't run from the storms. Say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to calm this storm. You calmed it for them. You can calm it for me. I'm not going to let this storm intimidate me. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to run to the worldly answers. Father, in the name of Jesus, I will stand. I will believe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Fight the good fight of faith. Calm the storm. In Philadelphia, calm the storm. Say, Jesus, you can calm the storm. I will look at that storm. I will look at that tornado and say, God is enthroned above the flood. God is over every storm. I will stand and hide in the Prince of Peace. Won't give in to worry. I won't give in to doubt. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. So let me tell you what happens. Here's what happens. And I want you to listen very, very closely to me. And I want you to put yourself, don't say this is for someone else. Say this is for me. Okay, so look. Here's something that you're going to learn about the devil. Did you know that the devil is kind? Kind. Yes. Sometimes the devil is kind. You know when he's kind? He's always kind when you choose to move away from the will of God. He gets really nice all of a sudden. You move away from the will of God, and you know what? Being comfortable all of a sudden makes sense. Can I tell you something? The pursuit of comfort is destroying the church. Listen. Nowadays, Christians define God's will by what's more comfortable. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It's not always more comfortable. We're called to fight the good fight. And so very often, people are like, well, this feels so much better. You know, just because something feels better doesn't mean it's God. But don't you know that God loves me? Yes, he loves you. Yes. And when you stand before him in heaven, he wants you to show up so that he could reward you for a life well lived. And a life well lived requires the good fight of faith. In other words, it's not always easy. It's not always more comfortable. It's not always the easiest, the situation. It's not always the promotion. It's not always the move. It's not always, you know, what man, this takes the stress away. Look, there's a stress that is removed that is not from God. And then there's the stress that's removed when you break through in God. When you break through in God. And no matter what's going on in your life, you're standing strong in the Lord. And then the devil can't put you down no matter where you are. If you look at the book of Joshua, they fought, I think it was 27 kings they conquered, king after king after king, and that was their promised land. I'm here to tell you, there is a promised land for the believer, but you gotta fight the good fight of faith. It won't happen just by sitting home and doing nothing for God, and not reading your Bible, and saying, oh, I just will listen to the 4-minute devotional. That's so encouraging. You better open the Word of God up and get a promise from God so that you could be nourished in the Lord and strong in the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Are you fighting? You gotta fight the good fight. Brothers and sisters, we gotta fight the good fight. It's so funny how many decisions are made because of comfort. And what is it, May 20th? 21st? May 21, yes. April. Cosa más grande la vida. April. It's April. Everybody say, go get some rest. You're working too much, bro. So, listen, 34 degrees in Chicago. How many know you got to be called here? You think about San Diego, they wake up and they look at how beautiful it is. Or Florida, you know. And I praise God if that's where he has you. But let me tell you something, whether it be Chicago or Alaska, be where God wants you to be and fight the good fight. Somebody say amen. So this is a really, really big deal. And I want to tell you a quick story about Pastor Simbla, my pastor, Chrissy's dad, first church I ever went to. We were kind of married just a year or two, and I was at the house. And Pastor Simbla walked by. When I looked at Pastor Simbla, honestly, he looked tired. So I said to Carol, and I'm going to tell you, like, this church has been shaped more by Pastor and Carol than anybody. We learned angle of ministry, perspective, pursuit of God, all of these different things. I mean, I can't even tell you what a blessing Brooklyn Tab has been to this church, and now Philadelphia Tabernacle. But it was interesting. So I looked at Pastor Simbla, and I said, man, Pastor Simbla looks tired. And so I said to Carol, Pastor Simbla looks tired. She goes, he does look tired, doesn't he? She goes, Al, why don't you go in? Because his office was in the garage. She's like, go in and tell him, Al. I was like, me and my big mouth. So anyway, I was like, oh, no. Cosa más grande. You know, so I walk in, and I say, hey, Pastor, how are you? He says, I'm good, Al. I said, you know, Pastor, you look so tired. He said, well, you know, I've been working a lot. And he's like, but I'm good. I said, Pastor, remember that sermon you preached? Run around, run down, run away. I said, I remember Pastor Simbla's sermons from when I was literally 22 years old. I still remember sermons. So really, really powerful. So anyway, by the way, don't ever quote the pastor's sermon to him, okay? It's not fun. So anyway, we talked for a minute, right? And he was like, no, I'm good, this and that. So anyway, I left, and then we were going someplace together, and Pastor walks by. He goes, by the way, Al, he said, I spoke to two of my friends. I just called them right on the spot. And you know what they said? They said to me, I don't know of one man of God, a woman of God for that matter, not one, that ever backslid if they were reading their Bible every day and really seeking God. Not one. And here's what he was saying. So there's a balance to this, and I want to put the balance up for you. Here's what he was saying, right? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed, everyone, day by day." And you know what he was saying? He was saying, let me tell you something, Al. I might fight a little bit and wake up a little tired, but even though I'm a little tired in my body, my spirit is strong because I'm close to Jesus. His word is keeping me strong. Can I tell you, Pastor Simba is 80 years old and he's still preaching in that pulpit. And I'm going to tell you, yes, there are physical seasons when the wise thing to do is to get some rest, but do not fall for the American version of rest. You got to fight. You got to believe. You got to serve. You got to pray. You got to fill yourself with the word. You got to pray for other people. You got to go to the Lord's house. You got to fight the good fight of faith. And not like, oh, I need to rest. Yes, look, I'm going to balance this out. Listen, Edward R. Roberts of Princeton Seminary once sat under a pastor who concluded his announcements, "I'm not going to take a vacation this summer. The devil never does." Robert went home and reread the Gospels to see what Jesus's attitude is. He found that of his 3 years of active ministry, there were mentioned 10 periods of rest. This was in addition to the nightly rest and the Sabbath rest. Whose example should we follow? So I'm not saying that you don't rest. Of course you rest. I'm not saying that you don't have a Sabbath. I'm not saying that you never go on vacation. But here's what I am saying. What I am saying is, this life is a fight. And when you wake up in the morning, don't expect it to be easy. And don't give up your faith for anything. Brothers and sisters, don't give up your faith for anything. Fight the good fight. Don't be a shallow Christian. Don't be a Christian who reads his Bible once a week or lives off the sermon or someone else's sermon. The sermons are meant to feed you, but you are called to feed yourself. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Could somebody say amen? And when things get difficult, fight the good fight. Last thing I'll say on this, if they could send me a keyboard player, one quick point, right? So look, there's a brother who visits our church occasionally. His work, he just comes once in a blue moon, but it's a beautiful story. And so a number of years ago, before he found God, he kind of lost his family. But then he found God, professional. He found God. And you know what he started to do? He started to really seek God. And he said, you know what? I don't want to lose my kids. I lost my marriage, but I don't want to lose my kids. And he started to seek God. And as he started to seek God, right, God began to repair trust and on and on. I don't know exactly where the journey is, but I know that it went from deep separation to now he had access to the kids, and it was getting better and getting better. And you might say, well, man, that's not like and they lived happily forever after. You know what? It's not always happily ever after, but you still need to fight for the ground that God has given you. Let's be grown-up Christians, and let's say, God, I'm not going to give the devil one foot of ground, even if I've made some mistakes. God is able to redeem and restore. He can restore what the locust has eaten, and nobody knows the end of the story except Jesus. Hallelujah. So don't say, oh, my story is too far gone. No, no, no. All things are possible when Jesus is invited into the room. Because he's more than able. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. So you have to fight for rest in your days, but then you have to fight for rest in the future. So there is same word in English, Sabbath rest, but there is a word that is called, the Greek word is sabbatismo, not katapausis. The second word is the pursuit of heavenly rest. Rest for your days, but even in the midst of your days, there should be part of your heart that always says, Jesus, I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait to get to heaven. Do you want like the big house or the vacation before heaven? I'm telling you, if that's what you want, if you want, I want this on earth, I want that on earth. I'm gonna tell you right now, you're not getting it. Okay? You don't get glory. You need to study glory. Because what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. You don't know joy until you've looked in the face of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You don't know exaltation. You don't know peace. You don't know happiness. You don't know blessing. No matter what we receive on this earth, it's just drops. It's little grace drops. It's little blessing drops. But when we see him face to face, when we walk on the streets of gold, hallelujah, there'll be no more tears, no more cancer, no more pain, no more crime, no more division, no more hurt, hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Lift your eyes and think about heaven, brothers and sisters. Don't let this world get you caught up with the things of the world. The heaven should always be what gives you perspective when you look at something. Heaven is better. Everybody say heaven is better. And this is talking about heavenly, the pursuit of heavenly rest, right? Listen to this quote, and then I want to, it says, the word sabbatismo is not the ordinary word used for Sabbath either, but it is just derived from sabbaton and refers to the celebration of the Sabbath or the Sabbath's joyful rest. It is used here because the case having been proved that there is another rest beyond God's creation rest and the Canaan rest, which is where kind of corresponding to the Old Testament, the Promised Land rest, Canaan rest, declaration is thus made that a different and better rest, a heavenly rest is forthcoming. Everybody say heavenly rest. A heavenly rest is forthcoming. A heavenly rest is forthcoming. Jesus is coming back, brothers and sisters. Okay, this passage focuses primarily on the image of a Sabbath celebration in God's resting place. We've got to lift our eyes. We've got to lift our hearts because a heavenly rest is coming. And when you think about heaven, you make your best choices on the earth. Heavenly rest is coming. You know, Christy and I were talking to Lauren and Cassandra, and Lauren LaLuz. Man, did I laugh talking to him. He's so funny. But he was kind of. They came here in 2024, like 2 years in. Our church doubled when the LaLuz clan came. And no matter where we go, somebody knows the LaLuzes. And we even have someone in Philadelphia now connected to the LaLuzes. Of course, it's impossible not to be connected to the LaLuz clan. But anyway, Lauren was our drummer for 16 years. And we was making us laugh because we used to have church at a school. And so he had to get up early with a crew of guys and build the cage and build the whole thing and play the drums and then tear it down and put it back. We did that for years, so much back and forth. And he was telling stories about how the cage was falling on him, but Chrissy was like, come on, keep playing, and the cage is crashing down. And I mean, I was laughing my head off, and he's in the ministry, wonderful ministry. And at a certain point, like I was just laughing nonstop, but at a certain point, as we were talking about the Lord, he said, you know why we're doing this, right? You know why we're doing this, right? It's because he's coming soon. Anybody believe that Jesus is coming soon? Come on, let's put our hands together. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. We lift our hearts. We lift our eyes. You're coming soon. We can't wait for that day. He said he's coming soon. He's coming soon. There's a unique timing to this message because with all of the things that are going on in the world, like there's a lot of preaching these days about the end times, because if you don't know this, the eternal kind of heading into eternity, the world clock is really built around Israel, okay? And there are things in regards to Israel that determine the end times. The Bible says that very clearly. And there's a lot of talk about the end times, as there should be. And I believe that Jesus is closer than he's ever been. And you know, there are a lot of messages right now about Israel and the end times, which are fantastic. Some people are really into, like, did the eclipse mean something? And nothing wrong with that, you know, the eclipse. What's Russia's role? So I saw a sermon, the role of Russia in the end times. Some people believe, based on what the scripture says, that Russia and China are going to join together with the enemies of Israel. There's going to be a great fight, the great Armageddon. We believe that, yes, there will be a last battle. All of those things, the Bible says that, all of the details. And yes, while we're watching Russia, you know, like to me, I don't spend a lot of time saying Russia's an evil empire. Although, you know, there's lots of evil, obvious. They don't believe in God and on and what's going on, all of that. I'm not, this moment is not political at all. But I just want you to know, you know, I don't look at Russia or godless nations or Islamic nations and say they're evil and we're good. I think America has plenty of evil. There's abortion. There's the confusion of children. We're poisoning our children, trying to get them to be confused about their identity. There are factions and forces. They're trying to legalize the brainwashing of our children in this nation, the so-called land of the free, telling them about and saying that parents can't tell children about their sexuality and talk to them about their sexuality when they want. Now the schools get to do that. Look, there is so much wickedness being promoted in this nation. I'm not anti-America. My dad taught me this is the greatest nation in the world. We are blessed. God bless America. I'm all for that. But what I'm trying to do is tell you this. You are a citizen of heaven. Okay, and we need to think about heaven and live for heaven and focus on heaven. And the chips are gonna fall somehow, some way. I don't know all of the details of it, but here's what I know. I gotta live my life like I'm ready for Jesus to come back. Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Are you living like Jesus is coming back? Are you telling people about Jesus? Open your mouth and tell someone about Jesus. Would you say, hey, whatever I know, I gotta give you. Jesus is coming back. Eternity is forever. Hell is real. Hell is real. We need to snatch people from hell. Nobody will be able to say that God is not just, that God is not fair. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price. All you have to do is put your faith in Jesus. If you put your faith in Jesus, you shall be saved. No other man, no other philosophy, no other religion has ever put that in front of humanity, ever. Only Jesus said, I died for you, I love you, I want to live inside of you, and I will take you into eternity. What a good God we serve. How many are thankful for the good, good Father that we serve?